This podcast is brought to you by Liquidware. Liquidware is the leader in adaptive workspace management solutions for Windows desktops. Their products cover all facets of management to ensure the ultimate user experience across all workspaces, physical, virtual, DAS, or cloud.
At the third stroke, it will be...
Hello and welcome to EUC Digest, your bi-weekly audio snack on everything EUC related. In today's show, we'll be talking about how vendors, ISVs, can influence or shape the end-user community landscape. But before we dive into these details, please allow us to introduce ourselves. My name is Jits Langerdijk and I'm your host for this episode. And with me is Erik van Klaveren. Hey Erik, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. A bit of a long weekend because my oldest celebrated her birthday, and because of the social distancing, we had to spread it out. So we kind of had like three birthdays during the whole weekend. So I'm still a bit tired of that.
So there's a queue in front of the house with a 1.5 meter distance, and everyone an hour or every other hour, the next couple of guests are allowed to come in, and you spread it all over
my backyard. Yeah, no, actually, it was we're three because we on Monday we were all free in the Netherlands because of a holiday.
Yeah, that's correct. But congratulations.
Thank you.
Great. But we have a guest today as well, right? So have you had any time to find some interesting facts maybe about our guest for today?
Well, as usually, we have found some interesting facts about today's guest. Because did you know, at home, he is surrounded by four girls in total, two daughters, a wife, a furry cat called Molly, and a pink Chinese lion? We have That's to ask about the Chinese pink lion.
Well,
definitely.
We all have a Chinese lion, right? But a pink one, I don't know.
But and while we're on the topic of pink, the color, he also have a coffee machine that is pink as well. So he has
pink coffee.
A pink coffee. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but
I know pink drinks coffee, but
you know for sure?
I don't know.
And even before all, we enjoyed the treat of working from home, our guest developed some kind of cabin fever due to his home office distractions. He was seeing squirrels.
Real squirrels or delusional? Yeah.
I think we have to ask him about this fact. But yeah, that were the fun facts I could found.
Interesting. Yeah, but if you still don't know who our guest is today, well, dear guest, can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Yes, hello. My name is Pim van de Vis, and I'm a solutions architect working at VMware.
And so welcome, Pim.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, glad you could be on our show. Cool.
Yeah, likewise. Definitely cool to be here.
So now we're kind of interesting, right? About the Chinese lion. What's the story behind a pink? Is it actually pink or
is the Chinese lion the coffee machine?
No, I think most of the facts are correct, except for the pink lion. It's actually a red lion, and I think Yitz, you've been to my house, so you might have seen it in real life. But
yeah, but the whole family was sleeping. We were doing this due diligence at night, right? So pink, red. It's kind of hard to see in the dark when you're staring down the windows. But
exactly,
nothing creepier.
No. Well, what I mean is, if you've been to my house, you've probably seen that it's not just a coffee machine and the lion, but the whole interior is designed by someone who's crazy about color, and that's my wife. So,
that was definitely going to be my next question. Why pink?
Yeah. Now, my wife is very much into photography and interior design and styling. And she actually created a magazine and is writing in the newspapers about that. So, and because is her job and she knows a lot more about it than I do, I decided a couple years ago already to give her carte blanche regarding the interior of the house. So I must say the lion, it's a huge wooden statue of about a meter high. She first called me to discuss, can I bring this home? But I made sure that she should negotiate that at least the delivery cost should be included. But other than that, it's definitely in our living room. And I think it's some form of, probably a statue from a Chinese restaurant or something like that. It came from a thrift shop where she regularly visits. So, yeah.
Yeah, but as you mentioned, I've been to your house and it's a nice, coherent, vintage look and a great atmosphere. So, and I found some newspaper articles as well with featuring you as the husband that, exactly as you mentioned, gave your spouse the carte blanche on the decorations. And you were sitting happy there with the cat Molly on your lap. And but there was actually, in that article, there was a guy pictured next to you in this article, and he was sitting on a candy pink couch. So, yeah, there's still room for improvement, right?
So yes. It's a fairy tale house.
Sort of. And my daughters definitely like it because there's lots of color.
Yeah. That's their favorite, right?
Yeah,
I know at least I have two daughters as well and one son. My son is too young to pick a color at this moment, but the daughters definitely love the color pink.
Well, my oldest one was very much into the Pixar's Cars movies, right until the time she went to school. So at school, of course, she met a lot of other girls, and all of a sudden, Cars were for boys, and that's when the whole fairy tale Frozen. With princess and Frozen and mermaids and unicorns started. So, yep.
At least I teached my daughter to be into Spider-Man.
Ah, that's a good one. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. She loves it. And well, she's six, so.
Yeah, my daughter is about to turn six in next week, so, yep. But
So now you have some ideas for gifts.
Yeah, definitely. As long as there's something with a unicorn or a mermaid in there.
Suit. Yeah. To come back on the introductions, maybe I cut you short when you introduced yourself, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and your career, what you've been done, and maybe also what do you like best. A lot of questions into one, but.
No, I can start somewhere. I think I was 4 years old when. No, let's not go back that far.
Wearing your Spider-Man suit.
No, I think I'm a solutions architect at VMware, and I'm part of the field engineering team, which is I think a pretty unique team, and I really like being part of that because for me it's the perfect blend of customer interaction and influence and discussions with product management. I always say that we are the eyes and ears of the product managers. So we discuss with customers the roadmap, what we're developing, but also gather requirements, gaps in the product. So it's a very cool mixture of customer interaction, but also getting your hands dirty, testing out new features, reproducing issues of customers. And I think I've been doing that for the last 5 years. First with the App Volumes and User Environment Manager products. That was right after our company. I was part of a Imedio, small Dutch company, building a User Environment Manager or a User Profile Manager solution that got acquired by VMware 5 years ago. About 3 years ago, I switched to the Workspace ONE product for VMware. So I'm now focusing on anything mobile device management, but mainly the Windows operating system.
Cool. But exactly this is, we picked this topic, of course, right? The influence of a software vendor on scaping or sculpting the end user computing environments. And as you just described, you're right on the intersection between the product management and from the other side, also the customers, relaying back all their functional demands, if I put it in my own interpretation and funneling this back to product management. Can you elaborate some more on this process? Maybe give us some examples or what you encounter from a day-to-day perspective.
Yeah, definitely. So as I mentioned, I focus mainly on the Windows operating system. And what I typically do with customers is customers already typically have Workspace ONE. Workspace ONE UEM was used to be called AirWatch. And that's the mobile device management solution that is used by a lot of customers to manage their Android and iOS devices. With the introduction of Windows 10, the operating system, my Windows operating system, became capable of being managed in a modern way as well, the same way as you manage a mobile device. And with that introduction, a lot of customers got really interested in moving their Windows PCs to a more modern management approach. Most of the customer interactions that I have are around that topic. They have a lot of Windows devices that they would like to manage. They want to migrate from their existing PC lifecycle management tools, which are basically mostly SCCM, to a more modern approach because SCCM is not really built for the modern way of working. SCCM does not report very well over an internet connection, requires VPN connection, stuff like that, where the modern management approach only requires an internet connection. So as long as your device is connected in some way to the internet, you can manage it remotely. You can make sure it's updated, you can make sure it's secure, all your apps and profiles are in place, the Wi-Fi, VPN, email is automatically configured. And that's something a lot of customers really like. So that's what most discussions are about. But if you see what kind of effort Microsoft put into SCCM in the past, I think at least two decades, that product is so mature, it's very hard to get up to the same level of features if you look at modern management. So there,
that required to do nowadays?
Well, that's what a lot of discussions are about, because customers look at, okay, we're managing our devices right now this way with SCCM. This is what we can do. How do we do the same thing with modern management? And it's a good point. I always try to explain to customers, well, the way you have been doing it should not automatically mean that you need to continue doing that in a modern way, but at least you need to look at a functional perspective. How can I reach the same functions? But it's a hard discussion if you're talking to technical IT administrators who are used to do stuff in a specific way and are requesting, well, I would like to enable this specific feature for BitLocker. How do I do this with MDM?
So yeah, I totally get the traditional approach with a configuration manager, for example. But then again, if you look, and I don't want to turn this into a bake-off between VMware solutions and other solutions, maybe the fair point is that Microsoft also have seen this opportunity, right, with Intune and bringing their features into Intune, more like the modern management solutions where you do not rely on VPN or any other secure direct connections. But my question is really more about, is it more that you would bring new features, new capabilities towards a customer, or is it that customers come to you with, well, these are the functional requirements, please relay this back to your product management team? Because I'm trying to more like to understand, is all the development in the end-user computing world, is this more like a technology push from the ISVs towards the end customers? Or we're all working for a vendor, but or do we actively engage with end customers? What is it that you need? Because in the end, IT is just a tool in their toolbox to get their work done.
Yeah, that's a very good point. To come back to the first point, I don't want to end up in a baking competition either. The way I always look at VMware is that we're sort of a Switzerland. We try to be sort of neutral, work together with a lot of other customers. We even have active partnerships with Amazon, Microsoft, and Google, and a lot of other big vendors out there. But let's not focus on feature or product comparisons. If you look at what kind of discussions I have with customers, it's always sort of mixture, and that's always the IT answer, of course, it depends. But what I've seen in my previous role and experience with Imedio is pretty much the same, is that we think about the product because we work with it every day. So we know what we know what can be done to improve it. We know what the holes are and what's still lacking. But with when talking to customers, with customer interactions, you always get a different perspective on how the customer is using the product. So I think most of the feature requests and feature and product improvements are actually coming from customers. But we always need to make sure that we first filter those feature requests so that we make sure that we implement it the right way. Because a customer might be requesting a feature for a very specific application that's not working in their environment. Then the translation we need to do is, okay, how can we make this a generic feature so that every customer can benefit from it and not just this one single application from this single customer. But what I see in my experience is that a lot and maybe most of the feature improvements, products improvements are coming from actually customers, customer interactions and feature requests. So yeah, that's definitely a very important input. And that relates also to the topic that of today, of course. I was thinking about this a little bit and I used to work at a Dutch bank as a consultant. And they actually had a lot of developers working for them in India. They wanted to give them access to their internal systems so that they can immediately test their development on the right environment. But they didn't want to ship physical PCs to India because of the security boundary that's stretched to India. So they actually built their own broker to host virtual desktop running on their VMware infrastructure. They create their own broker so that they could connect to virtual desktops running on their VMware infrastructure even before Citrix and VMware invented VDI. So that's another example of customers already coming up with features themselves, building products before a vendor actually starts pushing a product. So VMware might have been the first on the market with the product, but before that, customers were already doing virtual desktops. And I think with most features, it's like that. Vendors are just looking at ask and demand. They see an ask on the market. They see that customers are building tools themselves. The community is doing that. Let's see if we can build a better product and start selling that to help other customers. So I think that's mostly the way it goes.
Okay, and don't you think it's, because in my perspective, it's something, a shift that's going from a consumer to an enterprise. And if you look at those different worlds and you already got it with SCCM versus modern management, from that perspective, if we look at it at an end user perspective, they have all technology at hand and everything is easy. They know how to use it. And if you focus on enterprise software or enterprise environments, it is not that easy. And we tend to close everything up for the end user. And this is mainly my opinion why all shadow IT and the bring your own made a huge impact on these industries. Don't you think it's because of, as a consumer, we have more of these products at hand, and it's way easier to use than the computers we are using at our daily job, that they want to put those into their work environment.
Yeah, true. And I think a good example of that is the Apple iPhone, for instance. When that got introduced, a lot of companies started buying iPhones for their employees. Mm-hmm. So employees even bought their own and brought them to work and said, I need to have my work email on this iPhone that I just got. And that was definitely... so. That's probably a push from Apple into a new technology. But what you've seen is that companies immediately understood, okay, we need to make sure that we can support this, but how do we make sure that we make it easier to use? And Workspace ONE UEM used to be called AirWatch. That might be a fun fact. Did you know what the product was called before it was called AirWatch?
A square?
Let's not go there. No, it was called Wandering Wi-Fi. And that company was built, it was created to solve this iPhone issue. They saw that customers came to them and said, we have iPhones that we want to automatically connect to the Wi-Fi, and we want to automatically push an email profile, maybe even push a corporate app to the devices so that we can sort of manage them, see what's happening, that they jailbreak their devices. And because of that, they created this company, Wandering Wi-Fi, to manage iOS devices. That turned into AirWatch and now Workspace ONE. But that whole company was created again because customers were bringing their devices to IT, and IT said, please build
something. We don't want those on our network. We have to secure those, and we don't know how.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was a company that saw an opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, consumers introduced, well, we started off in IT maybe that the organizations, the enterprise organizations, introduced technology into the lives of their employees. And of course, with the consumerization of IT, now all of a sudden this shifted. And now the end user, the employees within the organization, they bring on their consumer products and start using this in the enterprise environment. And I think we touched upon this topic a little bit on modern management and IT admins. They basically ask you, being the eyes and ears for the PM team, how can I securely and easily manage these consumer devices? Or, well, Windows 10 is not a consumer device, but how can I still manage these and secure these devices in the same way as I did before? But yep. Maybe also the IT admin needs to rethink his approach, and maybe it's not the IT admin that defines how this is done, but it's the end user or the employee within the organization. This is how I use my hammer when I put in a nail, and not the IT admin that tells you how to. So do you see a change there as well for you as well? But maybe you talk to the IT admins and now more bypassing the IT admins and going directly to the employee within the organization and asking about their functional requirements. Or is this, well, can be challenging, of course. You need to reach to these people. But do you see a change there as well?
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, you used the IT admin used to determine and dictate what technology was used. That's definitely shifting and changing. It's still happening. I used the iPhone as an example, but nowadays that process is still happening. We have car manufacturers, kitchen manufacturers coming to us that say, we have this Microsoft HoloLens device, which we want to use in a virtual showroom, so that we can virtually show a car, a kitchen, whatever to our customers. Please help us manage this device. How can we maintain this? So that shift of new devices, new hardware being introduced and creating new demand for a management solution is still happening. But the other hand, the end user is also getting a bigger say in what's happening. And then that's what you see right now. I think the last year or 2 years, you will see this with both Citrix and VMware and probably other vendors as well, is that they are now focusing on employee experience. The magic word, the holy grail right now is employee experience. And that's the idea behind that is to make sure that the whole end user computing is now focused actually on the end user. So how can we improve the experience from the end user? How can we make that as easy as possible? 50 years ago, a lot of people never used a computer, so it was hard for them to use a computer and know which button to push. Nowadays, everybody has an iPhone and a computer and knows how to work with them. And they're now asking IT, make this as easy as my out-of-box experience of an iPhone. I just turn it on, it takes me through a wizard, and I can start working with it. Why is IT not as easy as that? And that's the next big shift that I see with the end-user computing vendors, focusing on end-users, making that experience as smooth as possible.
Yeah, and that was kind of my whole point. So all those features that you could managed through SECM, why would you want them to be available in your modern management tooling?
Yeah.
Another point you hooked up was end-user computing is moving more to a shift of the user experience. But in the end, IT isn't there to serve another purpose than just to bring IT or a portal to information, which eventually is there to support some kind of user experience in some way.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Everybody now understands that IT is a support tool, but everybody also understands that IT is critical for their business. So without IT, most businesses can't even work. So there's always still a tension between those two, of course.
There's a lot of proof that in the current situation with this global pandemic, of course, going on, that IT is essential to a lot of businesses. And while you mentioned this out-of-box experience with the iPhone, I remember, I think it's already a couple of years old, this blog of one of your colleagues, Andrew Morgan, at the office at the CTO, and I do not recall exactly, but it was something like his backpack was stolen or his luggage got lost or I don't know what, but he was able to get up and running with all his data and all his applications in I don't know, maybe an hour or even shorter. I don't know exactly, but the old provisioning and sign on and all went very smoothly for multiple devices. So I think there you have it.
Wasn't this the story of Johan van Amersfoort, one of...
There's
it was
really
last
stories.
Year.
Plenty of stories available. And it's true. And if you start looking for it, a lot of VMware first day employees are very happy. But there was another one. There was a major fire in a hotel in London last year where we used to host a CTO meeting with a lot of customers. Everybody had to leave the hotel immediately and abandon all their devices. But the event was multiple days. So they picked another location, just got some laptops and iPhones, just handed those out to everybody. And with Workspace ONE, within an hour, every CTO at that table was able to get back to work and get back to that meeting.
Those are scary moments, right? Not the fire, but leaving your devices behind.
Exactly. Well, luckily with
Definitely.
Modern management, you can remotely wipe those. So, but it's
scary.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like you said, you have the ease of all, also onboarding them again and have everything at hand you had as you did before. And this is mainly my scare part to every organization who is adopting like last year's Microsoft philosophy, where everybody has to use their Windows 10 machine and do everything locally, and not adopting like the things we did before. You should have backups. You should have your information somewhere stored that you could use them. Yeah, Microsoft wanted them to move to their OneDrive. But this is a scare factor to me because I see a lot of movement in there, and companies tend to forget that, sure, it works fine and every update and patches are working OTA. But what about the backups, and what about your data and the information you're using? And what if your device gets stolen? Yes, you can wipe them also from a Microsoft perspective, but can I retrieve my data back?
Everything's in the cloud, right? Are you still have trust issues with the cloud?
Oh, I don't have any trust issues with the cloud. I have a lot of conversations with customers who have and who tend to have other visions about cloud. And or when it comes to cloud in perspective to their private cloud. So, yeah.
Well, yeah,
I don't have issues.
No, but a lot of customers have. And then I think it's a valid point right now. But I think 10 years from now, the discussion might be completely different. I mean, it's the same with the energy transformation. In the 40s, 50s, a lot of companies still had their own energy generators to create their own energy. But the energy grid is now so reliant that nobody has a backup. Some very important customers still have a backup generator, but most of them don't even have that. And that's probably the same with cloud and on-prem infrastructure. Right now, you still need to have a backup, but it will change.
Yeah, and eventually more people are used to having those features at hand that are already stored in cloud. Just look at the Google services, the Facebooks, and the Amazons, who actually only exist from a cloud or internet perspective.
Yep, totally agree.
How about a little bit back on the topic on gathering information and relay it back, right? And my previous question was, is there a shift where you gather this information, a shift from the IT admin towards the actual end user, the employee within the organization? And the backup or data management and security got me thinking, probably, and this is just an assumption, but when you talk to an end user, they don't care about security. They don't care about backups. They only care about it when there's a security breach, right? Or when the data is lost. Then they start caring about it, right? So it's maybe, you still need this functional input from the actual end user. This is how I, in an ideal situation, would do my work from this kind of device with this data, this application to achieve my goals. But you still need to, or at least that's the question, you still need to gather also the technical requirements from an IT perspective or maybe a strategy company or company policies. Yep. So more like, the boundaries within where you can reach your goals from a functional perspective for an end user. But again, yeah, this is an assumption, and I'd like to see your view on this. But
no, I think that's a good one, because and luckily I see that with most customers. Right now, when a customer wants to implement a modern management solution, they typically build a proof of concept. And with any of the large accounts I'm talking to, part of that proof of concept and pilot phase is also to include a user group, to include at least 10, 50, 100 users and ask them to give their input on the user experience. So customers definitely involve their end users in that process and use that feedback to send that back to us and say, okay, this needs to improve. Because we sell the solution and say, well, it's very cool. It's a zero touch deployment. Well, that's not the complete sentence. It should be a zero IT touch deployment, because IT doesn't need to touch the device. You can order it from Dell or any hardware vendor, ship it to the end user. They can unbox it at home, turn on the laptop device, and it will help them enroll their device and push all their apps and profiles, etc. However, so the IT admin doesn't need to image a device anymore, doesn't have to touch it. But for the end user, the process has become more complex because he has to do more stuff. Before, he just needs to type in his username and password. Everything will already be pre-provisioned from the image. Right now, he needs to connect it to the Wi-Fi, needs to wait until all the apps are downloaded. So the end user experience is changing. The end user needs to do more. And that's why you see this focus on more end user experience. We need to make sure that the end user has the best experience possible to support this, so that the wizard is just as easy as an iPhone. An iPhone will also ask you 5-6 questions when you first turn it on. And that's where we want to go to as well. Just 5-6 questions, and then your device should be ready to go. And that's what you see with the Workspace ONE end user experience that we're implementing now. We're working on a digital assistance, for instance, where you can chat to, like a chat box, but you can even talk to it, and that will give you feedback. So if you want to order a laptop, you can just send a text message and say, my device is broken or stolen, or I need a new one. Please help me. And it will just send you back. It will automatically understand what you want to do, send back the catalog, for instance, and say, okay, please pick a model. Select it. Is this still your home address? Please approve. And it will completely automate that process for the end users.
It's cool, but if your device is broken, how do I order it?
Well, you can reach that digital assistant from any device. So if you have a personal phone or another laptop, or a laptop from an employee or a colleague, that should work. Yeah.
So, but basically, being also an employee within an organization for many years, different organizations, the employee always needs to adapt to use technology. And now finally, technology is starting to adapt to how we as human beings would like to work, right? Is that, to sum it up, is that more or less correct? Or
yeah, I think we're more looking at how do users interact with machines, and how can we make sure that our technical process follows that. Yep.
Yeah. So and of course, I truly believe, and especially with the examples that you give, that we're finally shaping the end user computing landscape, if we can call it this way, based on the functional requirements of an employee. But I could still imagine that a PM team is creating, is sitting together, creating this tunnel vision, maybe, and creating new features that they're very happy to release, and then all of a sudden, a great feature, but no one's going to use it. Maybe just for the fun of it, can you imagine or describe maybe an example of this a features or products maybe that that fail dramatically? Because they're not to highlight the failures, of course, but
no, and that's fine. I don't have any actual examples, but there's plenty of examples like this because. And I think mainly what I've seen in the past with our product is that the very cool new features that we announce are might be too early. So, for instance, what we've also released is a mobile flows feature where you can introduce automatic flows within your applications. So if you have to, if you have an approval flow for ordering a new laptop, typically that's a separate website or a separate application. With mobile flows, you can integrate that into your core apps, like your email. So a manager will just get an email notifying him that he needs to approve something. But within the email, he can already just simply click the approve button, and it will send an API request, etc., to automatically approve that in the other application. We've released that already, I think, a year ago, and it was we have acquired a company to get that technology. But I don't see a lot of customers using that already, and that's I definitely believe this is very it's going to be big. But I think it might be too soon yet. So while we announce this with a lot of triumph and say this is very cool, a lot of customers might still be a little bit more delaying. Okay, do we really need this right now, or can we wait 2, 3, or more years until implementing?
But isn't this also a thing where IT admins get involved and start to scare about their job instead of thinking, oh, if we could arrange this takes so much overhead away from what I'm currently doing, and I can focus on the really nice things I like to do and what I can do much better instead of all the recurring things.
Yeah, I still have those conversations and see that happening daily, where people are just breaking projects because they're afraid of their jobs, and yeah, it's logical, but
really, because yeah, I in multiple occasions this came up as a topic, right? But and maybe I'm just look at this from my own perspective. I truly cannot believe that someone would stop adopting or be less eager to adopt new technology because they are afraid. But isn't
seen
more the complexity?
Stuff. And you're more in like the video graphical professional stuff. But we at Citrix sell pretty much the same. I think technology solutions behind this, and also these flows don't tend to they're seen as a scare factor or too early, or they're saying no, we don't need it, we have other solutions for that, not to talk about VMware, but other solutions that are totally different than the ones we are trying to point out. And for instance, what Pim liked to say, to order like the laptop or the machine or the mobile device, it's really easy to put those APIs together and create a flow. And those tend to be.
Is that really easy?
It is. I can.
Yeah, exactly. And upfront, it might take some time, but in the end, that's with everything you automate. Building a script takes longer than just running the task 2 or 3 times manually. But if you need to run that task 100 times, then you'll save a lot of time.
Yeah, but I can imagine, especially like something simple. I don't know. I need a new laptop, so I go into I don't know. Maybe there's just a simple app or a chatbot. I need a new laptop, and that takes me through a workflow. And in the end, the next day, the delivery man shows up at my door with the laptop. There's a huge process behind that. where multiple websites, procurement, ordering, delivery, all needs to be in this process. And I can imagine from an IT admin perspective, this can be, well, kind of a challenge to tie this all together into one workflow. And yes, I truly believe, I mean, we're all in IT, so automation is one of our, or at least from my point of view, it's certainly at my interest. And as soon as you do this, I don't know, maybe 2 times a week, it already saves you some time when you start automating this, and maybe it will take you an entire week to create such a workflow. But I can imagine, especially when you have different kind of applications, that the all the loops or the hoops that you need to jump through can be quite challenging. It's not simple like drag and drop and like flow gramming instead of programming such a workflow. But maybe it's just me and the lack of experience with this.
I can talk about the VMware product because I never worked with it. I know from our perspective, it is drag and drop, at least as if the required applications have decent APIs.
Yep, exactly. And that's, I think, the main point. I mean, our solution is the same. You can drag and drop, but with all the cloud solutions like ServiceNow and SAP, etc., if you have an older application without APIs, it might be more challenging to incorporate that, of course. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, but most of those solutions are maybe just, well, it's not the right time, and organizations or the IT admins have different things on their plate to tackle first, and then maybe they automate their jobs out of the company. We'll see, but the IT admin needs to adapt as well, right? To modern management and new approaches as well, and a different end user that's more tech savvy maybe than they used to be.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I've had this discussion with some IT admins, but most of them were a little bit older and wanted to get out of technology, and also some of them started around the Y2K bug year when a lot of IT people were needed, so they sort of said, "Well, this is an opportunity. Let's switch to IT."
But that was a time where everything came down, right? Like planes are crashing and things starting to collapse.
That never happened. I think the whole coronavirus now is causing more collisions and ripples. But yeah, a lot of those people are now 1-2 decades further and say, "Okay, maybe IT is not what I want to do for the rest of my life." So. And those people, for those people, it might be more scary to keep up with all the new technology, and so they might be more heels in the sand type of guys and trying to put a brake on new technology. Yep.
So we'll keep a couple of IBM mainframes around just for them. No. It's not meant to be condescending, of course, but
VMS. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. So Yeah, we're already covered lots of content around this topic.
I still have one question before you might have your finals.
my final question,
yeah.
Go ahead, Eric.
So what do you think will be the biggest challenge for end user computing right now, or what you're facing, or what you're seeing?
I think, well, if what I'm seeing mainly is Windows 10, and the biggest challenge right now is that we have to deal with the APIs that Microsoft built into Windows 10 to make the operating system MDM or model management capable. And those APIs are still lacking. With every Windows 10 feature upgrade, there's new APIs added to the product. But one of the instances you already mentioned is updating your machine automatically from the cloud. How can I trust that? It's not 100% foolproof and safe right now. So that's definitely one of the challenges I still see for making the leap to Windows 10 modern management for any company out there. Both Windows and some of the other products, Workspace ONE included, still has some development and then maybe improvement to do.
So none of us is done yet.
No, definitely not. No, a lot of customers are very happily using the product already, but still room for improvement.
So Pim, on the topic of today, right, the influence that an ISV or a vendor in general has on the landscape, in this particular podcast, of course, the EUC landscape. Well, you explained to us that you have the ability and also you're in the position to gather a lot of functional and also technical requirements from the field and relay it back to the product management team. And of course, there are always more feature requests than development can cope with. So you need some prioritization, of course. But you also mentioned community. And of course, EUC Digest is here to serve the community as well. What's the influence of the community on this? I know VMware has a lot of community members, EUC champions, VExpert EUC. What's your thought on this? Your final thoughts?
I think it's twofold. First thing is the community is very good in spreading knowledge. They organize a lot of events where they present sessions, etc., to share knowledge about how do you use these products successfully. And what I see is the audience on these events are typically the IT admins and a lot of people that want to implement the solution. So that's a very strong point where the community is actually helping vendors spreading the love and the word of the products. And the second thing I see is that a lot of community members have built tools made available freely. The Imedio is another example. The company I came from was created by Login Consultants and was started by a free community tool that they made available on the website. And I think that's something that the community is very strong in. There's a lot of programmers out there building tools to fix a small problem for them, but might have a huge impact because 99% of the customers might be facing that same problem. And that's definitely something that a lot of vendors are looking at. Okay, how can we incorporate those tools or help them to actually improve our products?
I got 99 problems, but IT ain't one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's a nice bombshell. Yeah, so... Yeah, well, Pim, thank you very much for contributing to the community and contributing, of course, being our guest today in the EUC Digest. And we'll catch up on maybe in the future in another podcast. At least from my side, I really enjoyed this conversation on the influence of the ISVs on the EUC landscape. And any final thoughts or remarks or things you want to come back to?
No, it was my pleasure. Really enjoyed doing this. And if you still dare to come over and sit next to the lion statue, you're always welcome.
Okay, was that an invitation for me as well?
Yes, of course, Eric, for you as well.
Well, thanks, Pim. So thank you all for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the snack as we try to serve you the right amount of EUC for your appetite. If you have anything you want to add here or just want to stay in touch with us, please reach out via our social channels or by email on podcast@eucdigest.com. Cheers, love, and course.
This podcast is brought to you by Liquidware. Liquidware is the leader in adaptive workspace management solutions for Windows desktops. Their products cover all facets of management to ensure the ultimate user experience across all workspaces, physical, virtual, DAS, or cloud.